Much has been said about the battles fought by U.S. forces in Iraq, in places like Fallujah, Najaf, and Samarra. But the outcome of the conflict will be determined, in large part, by thousands of American servicemen and women in more obscure places, usually out of the view of TV cameras. One such place is Hammam al-Alil, in the countryside south of Mosul. NPR's Philip Reeves spent 2 days embedded with U.S. forces there. Before filing this report, Reeves agreed his work could be subjected to certain military restrictions.
Hang it right on the road.
A patrol of American soldiers moves warily through the shabby streets of Hammam al-Alil. They're on foot, but with their rifles ready. Iraqi men watch them pass, firing resentful stares from their doorways.
They stare us down, but you can't break eye contact with them. You got to let them know, you know, we're here to mean business. We're not here to mess them up, but at the same time, we're ready, you know.
Staff Sergeant Sean Fidler. He keeps a close eye on his soldiers as they maneuver. Most of these are very young men, 19 and 20-year-old Americans, venturing into the Middle East for the first time. Fidler's been in the U.S. Army since the Clinton era, so he's something of a veteran, and he knows how to spot trouble.
I look for when there's nobody around, when the kids kind of start leaving us. That's a bad thing. They usually tend to know what's up before we do.
These are the men of Charlie Company 1-5. They're the cutting edge of America's engagement in Iraq. Daily, they work the streets of this obscure Sunni Arab community on the banks of the River Tigris, 12 miles south of Mosul. The U.S. military believes senior insurgents live in Hammam al-Alil, the planners, perhaps, of this month's attempt to seize control of Mosul. The military says it believes Mohammed Khalaf Shiraka, suspected senior aide to the Jordanian extremist Abu Musab Zarqawi, may be in the area. Charlie Company's commander is Captain Ron Scow.
Right here at the, at the rifle company level, this is where most of the heavy lifting is done. You know, we are really the unit of action for everything that occurs.
Scow's only 33, though that makes him 5 years older than any of his officers. His responsibilities are considerable.
I've got 176 soldiers in my unit. Over 100 of them are married. About 70 of those soldiers are fathers. And when you look at the sacrifice that these guys make, it's inspiring, you know. It really makes you feel proud to be part of an organization.
Even before he arrived in Iraq, Scow was aware this conflict would likely be different than anything he'd seen before.
As I got closer and closer to the deployment, I found myself kind of dreading the company formations we'd have, because you'd kind of wonder, you know, who was not coming home. I fully realized I'd never been in a situation where I would have squads becoming casualties, wounded, or killed, but it would be one or two or three guys. And, you know, you kind of ask yourself sometimes, who's that going to be and how you going to be able to handle that?
There's been trouble in Hammam al-Alil, and the commander of U.S. forces in northern Iraq, General Carter Ham, flies in to find out more. In January, he opened a training base here for the Iraqi National Guard. This month, those forces fled under threat from insurgents. Most of the town's police also quit. The National Guard's building, recently refurbished at considerable expense, was trashed and looted. Ham, as he walks the wrecked site, says these particular recruits to Iraq's security forces have proved useless.
Well, frankly, the only way I want them back is in jail. And we're working with some of the Iraqi National Guard leaders to do that. There's not a place in the Iraqi security forces for soldiers who run away. They don't need that. They need soldiers who will stand and defend what they're charged with defending.
General Ham argues the U.S. and its Iraqi allies will triumph in the end over its opponents, whom he defines principally as Iraqi Sunni insurgents rather than foreigners. But he says a hard road lies ahead. The men of Charlie Company seem to agree. They firmly believe what they're doing is right and in Iraq's interest. But plenty of soldiers also say few in the U.S. understand the complexity or scale of the insurgency that they're confronting. In the company's base nearby, this subject provokes lively debate in the freezing, clapped-out chow hall. Sergeant Micah Gould thinks Americans know a little, but not enough.
You know, there's only so much you can learn on the news. You know, outside of that, it's just daily, you know, is there an RPG out there waiting? Is there an IED on that bridge, that sign? You know, is that car going to blow up? It's just constantly looking at everything.
A few weeks ago, Gould was caught in a long battle in Fallujah before the main U.S. assault on the city. Sergeant Patrick O'Brien also saw action there.
In the past 2 years, since we've known about Iraq and everything else, we've kind of shifted our training towards this type of enemy. I just think at the same time, the people that we're fighting, until you touch ground here and see it firsthand, it's kind of hard to comprehend the full scope of things.
A company platoon is dispatched to visit Hammam al-Alil's schools to find out whether they're functioning. The soldiers want to break the ice with the town's civilians, but they're also on their guard against attack, and that carries the risk of further alienating the Iraqi public. A school teacher takes exception to this, accusing the soldiers of pointing their guns at her children.
Oh, no, we wouldn't point at the kids, never at the kids.
The patrol sets off anew. Its interpreter, who's asked not to be named, is limping. He received a shrapnel wound in the leg in Fallujah, but he's carried on working, knowing he's greatly needed. Overcoming the language barrier is one of the Americans' biggest hurdles. Iraqis working as interpreters for the U.S. military have been killed by insurgents. They're becoming very hard to recruit. This man, an Iraqi raised in Canada, says the possibility of being targeted constantly preys on his mind.
It bothers me if I'm alone, you know, when I think about it. It bothers me a lot. And I think about it a lot every day because no matter what happened, I don't want to die with them. I don't want to be caught in there. I mean, maybe I have 6 magazines on me. I'm sure I'm going to save a bullet for my head.
So why then does he do the job?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I was in it for money, to begin with, just to get my family out of here. But when I got in this country, when I first put my foot on this country, I changed my thinking about the money. I'm in it right now just to help out the American people, not the state army.
It's help Charlie Company greatly needs. Its commander, Ron Scow, this week went to see one of Hammam al-Alil's chief players, a judge. Lieutenant Nicholas Trotter is the company's fire officer, but he's become the de facto intelligence analyst. He was there too, and he says the judge wasn't friendly.
His language was rife with anti-American sentiment, which is unusual. It's the first guy we really encountered that was so adamant. But he said that under Saddam, things were stable because people knew what to expect, and they lived in fear. As long as they complied, they could kind of maintain a status quo. He said now, under the Americans, things are changing, and they're not sure how to react and understand that.
For Scow, it's one of many issues with which he's wrestling.
In Western culture, in a lot of cases, you can be much more direct and get to the point. I understand in Islamic culture, that's not really the way things are done. So, like, personally, it can get frustrating because you're inside, you're screaming, where you just want to get down to the point and say, hey, this is the issue, this is the problem, this is a way that we can solve it.
Until solutions are found, the cold stares will continue for American soldiers on the front line. Soldiers like Sergeant Patrick O'Brien.
I don't wave. I stare him right back in the eye and let him know that I'm looking at you and you can stare at me all day, but I'm going to remember your face because I'm going to go home to my family.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, near Mosul.